and Muslims are left in a position thinking, well, I don't know how to answer this. So what would you think would be the best way to combat Darwinism in everyday conversations?
We have very two powerful evidences, very powerful evidences. The impossibility of the proteins emerged by chance. There is, and also the fossil evidence. And also in the Quran, there is nothing about evolution. In fact, there is evidences, Allah-given evidences of sudden creation in the Quran.
Sudden creation is in the Quran?
Yes.
I have heard that humans came from water, or H2O. There was a reference in the Quran. Do you have anything to say about that?
Yeah, it's Allah says it's made of water. That means there is a lot of water in the living things. 70-80% of the cells are water, actually. Both intracellular space and extracellular space. It's not, Allah does not say humans emerged or evolved out of water. Made of water. Made of water means, of course, that is water is the main component of all the living organisms. That is correct.
Was this the same water used within the clay to actually mold the humans?
Yes, Allah, with the word of Allah, it's sudden creation of Adam alayhi salam out of clay. It's not like millions of years, but step by step. There is no such thing. Also, Moses alayhi salam, wood staff transformed into snake all of a sudden. There is no evolution in millions of years, as evolutionists claim.
That's a miracle, you know. I mean, referring back to people such as Moses, and it is such an interesting topic to talk about.
Yeah.
Now, how would you say to an atheist, you know, that is not evil, we don't come from monkeys, how would you explain to them in an Islamic perspective?
Well, first, it is very important to clean up the mind. So we have to refute the Darwinism first. Without refuting the Darwinism out of the mind of somebody, it is impossible to teach Quran. So we give the scientific evidences which refute Darwinism. Even a single protein molecule to be produced, other proteins must exist, enzymes. That means proteins can only be produced by proteins. And that is a fatal blow to Darwinism. Because for a single protein to be produced, other proteins, enzymes must exist. That is not enough. DNA must exist, because the code of the protein is from DNA. The organelles, like mitochondria, energy power stations of the cell must exist. A living complete cell must exist for a single protein to be produced. That defeats Darwinism completely. That means, of course, the organisms made up trillions of those proteins to emerge by chance is impossible. Even a single protein to emerge by chance is impossible. And we have 350 million fossils which refute Darwinism because there are no transitional forms. Charles Darwin admit that. Stephen Jay Gould admit that. Niles Eldridge admit that. Richard Dawkins admit that. There are no transitions, no pathological, asymmetrical transitions. So Darwinism finished. It's dead.
That's a very, very strong point, I must say. So this is just evidence that it's not, you know, anything else. It's pure ignorance. It's just, you know, disagreeing for the sake of disagreeing. And, you know, saying that God is, you know, a myth, is this, is that. You know, it's just people who are so deluded in their mindset that they just can't fathom the evidence of something coming from, you know, things such as the Quran. Subhanallah. And as you said, if this said, evidence which goes against evolution, but why is it then evolution, as Dr. Babuna said, is followed by 99% of people in the world? Why is it has such a strong following then, if there's evidence which suggests against evolution?
Well, Allah controls everything. Nothing is controlled beyond of Allah. Nothing is out of control, beyond control of the Allah, inshallah, of Allah. Since the time of the Adam alayhisselam, according to the Sunnatullah, Adatullah, there is a struggle between believers and unbelievers. So sometimes Allah give progress to unbeliever philosophies, pagan religions, such as Darwinism and materialism. And sometimes Allah makes the Islam to prevail, like at the time of the Solomon, Sulaiman alayhi salam, or Dzulkarnain alayhi salam. So in the 20th century, and based also on the hadiths of the end times stated by our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, first, there is a progress in the system of the Dajjal, Antichrist, which is Darwinism and materialism. Open denial of Allah, our Prophet says in the hadith. But after that, with the emergence of Mehdi, inshallah, Islam will prevail in the entire world. So Darwinism and materialism will be eradicated completely, scientifically, inshallah. So this is the time, because Darwinism is collapsing, because science is anti-atheist, science is anti-Darwinist, and science is anti-materialist. All the scientific evidences from genetics, molecular biology, paleontology, biology, microbiology, comparative anatomy, falsifies Darwinism completely. Science shows us, even the children can understand, there is nothing complex about the religion or existence of Allah. Even the children can understand, there is a very delicate balance, there is very delicate balances, harmony and organization everywhere in the universe, from the atoms to the living cells, from the DNA to the organ systems of living beings, to wherever we look, we see the evidences of creation of Allah, because the complexity of life and the information in the living beings could not have emerged by chance. This is nonsense. Chance cannot do anything, of course. And there is a creator with infinite wisdom, power, and artistry, inshallah.
You know, it's interesting you say that, because the many, many atheists I have debated with, and I mean debate, I mean one to have debates, you know, say that, why isn't it possible that things just came about by chance? You know, why didn't the roll of the dice just, you know, happen just like that, you know, as if by magic? I mean, there is no rationality, there's no logic behind that. Things just, you know, appearing for the sake of appearing.
Well, actually, Darwinism is a pagan religion, but it did not start with Charles Darwin. It goes back to the time of the Sumerians, the Pharaoh of Egypt, and ancient Greece. For example, the Pharaoh of Egypt said the same thing. He said, the living things emerged by chance out of the mud of Nile River. So in the 21st century or 20th century, people said the same thing. They claimed that living things emerged, evolved by chance out of the mud and out of the soil. But it is impossible. What is soil? What is nature, for example, first of all? Nature is air, soil, and rocks. So air, soil, rocks, and water cannot do anything, and matter cannot organize itself. It is nonsense. The complexity of the life, for example, in a single DNA molecule of the human beings, which is 1,000 millimeter in size, the amount of information is 1 million pages, 10,000 volumes of encyclopedia. As you know, the largest encyclopedia of the world is Britannica Encyclopedia. It has only 25 volumes. The amount of information in a single DNA is 1 million pages. In 1 gram DNA, the amount of information is 200 trillion books. So it is so obvious that there is a creator with infinite wisdom. And all about everything, this is very important, that, you know, we have a three-dimensional view, and we hear sound, and we have perceptions. We live in our brains, in a very small size area of our brains, lentil size area of our brains. We have such a small world we are living in. We can never exit our brains. The electric signals in the brain are interpreted as a three-dimensional view, as sound, as taste, as smell, and as a touch. So that means there must be an inner eye which can see, an inner ear which can hear, an inner hand which can touch, and that is our soul. Allah informs us in the...
Yes. You have read our minds. Previously, we were talking about the third eye. In our previous conversation about spirituality, we were talking about the pineal gland within the brain, which is calcified as one gets older. But when one undergoes things such as spirituality and meditation, part of the brain decalcifies. Now, I've read, don't quote me on this, I'm not quite the scientist, but the pineal gland is somewhat in control of one's aging and one's subconscious. And it's through meditation, you know, that this one-third eye can be activated. How far do you agree with something such as that in that scientific perspective?
Well, I'm a neurosurgeon. I'm a brain surgeon. And the brain consists of, as you know, living cells made up of proteins, lipids, and carbohydrates. And these are atoms. So everywhere in the brain, the atoms make up the cells, and the cells send signals to each other one. But there is no area of the brain which can point out which cell or which area makes up our consciousness. Consciousness does not belong to matter. It's so obvious, because this is the way we see, this is a technical fact. Even the high school children knows that. The photons, which are emitted by the atoms outside, reach our eye, the back of our eye, the retina, and they are transformed into electric signals. However, there is no light outside. The structure of the atoms, 99% is nothingness. There's complete darkness. So photons are energy particles emitted by the electrons. So if the photons hit the retina, they are transformed into electric signals in our brain. Everybody knows that. So these electric signals travel into the center of the vision in the back of our brain. So there is no light in the brain. It's complete darkness. However, in back on in the vision center, it is transformed into a three-dimensional, colorful view. There is no color outside. There is no light outside. There's complete darkness outside. Even the sun is completely dark. This is a technical fact, physical fact, scientific fact. Scientists admit that. And however,
I actually read exactly what you were saying in the book, The Truth of the Life of the World. And I know what you're going to say. You're going to say that it's all perceived by the soul.
Exactly. That is a scientific fact, which leads to, actually, there are many scientists from United States and UK, they admit that. They say the outside, there is no outside. We can never exit our brains. We are only in contact with our perceptions in our minds. But then there must be an inner being, actually. There must be an inner being which can perceive all these perceptions, and that is our soul, which is not matter, which is beyond matter. And, of course, the existence of the soul destroys Darwinism and materialism completely, eliminates Darwinism and materialism completely, and proves the fact of existence of Allah, infinite existence of Allah. And Allah gives the information in the Quran. Allah says, I seek refuge in Allah from a cursed Satan. Allah breathed his soul into the human beings, and there is only little information given about the soul, inshallah. But the scientific facts lead to the existence of the soul, and that, of course, eradicates Darwinism and materialism. Materialism actually accepts the absolute existence of the matter and denies the existence of the creator. But the scientific facts tells us matter only exists when there is a perceiving soul at the level of perception, and we are only direct contact with our perceptions in the mind. That proves us the infinite existence of the Allah, inshallah. Allah is the absolute being. We are the shadow beings, inshallah. And that eradicates Darwinism and materialism completely.
Mr. So, brother, as you said about the soul and things, then would you personally agree with the Aristotelian perspective on the soul, where he says that the primary activity of a living thing constitutes its soul? So, for example, the soul of an eye. If it were an independent organism, it would be seeing. So would you agree with the Aristotelian perspective on the soul and how it integrates with the living organisms, the eye, the heart, etc.?
Well, we look at the scientific evidence. Even if we think scientifically, we find out that the matter, which is, for example, our eyes, our ears, our brains, made up atoms. These atoms, by structure, is not different than the bricks of the wall or the wood of the table. They're exactly the same. The electrons, the protons, and the neutrons are exactly the same. There's no difference. So if the table does not think, of course, then the atoms of the brain to think, claim to think, is, of course, silly. It's very illogical, irrational, actually. So the atoms cannot see other atoms. The atoms cannot hear the other atoms. There is a being, which this follows from the scientifically and logically. There is a being which is beyond matter and can perceive the existence of the matter, and that is soul. But we cannot explain, we cannot perceive the existence of the soul, because Allah did not give this information. We cannot know, for example, Allah knows him, inshallah. So we cannot know the existence of the soul, but we know it's a fact.
That was, it's very interesting to hear these, these facts, these evidence. It's a different perspective to the, opinionated views of individuals, preaching the ignorance, in things such as a school classroom, a college or a university. Now, brother, I was reading a book. It's called The Intelligent Heart, The Pure Heart. And it states that, this is slightly off course. It states that within the heart, there were some neurons, cells, which were somewhat the same in which is contained within the brain. And it states that, to a degree, our heart has its own logic. It can, to a sense, think for its own. It's not just a pumping organism, as, of course, if the brain was to die, for example, if one was to go into a coma and the brain was to completely disintegrate in, you know, some medical circumstance, the body still carries on and the heart still pumps, you know, blood throughout the body. It states that there is a logic to its heart because it can think for its own. It has the same neurons in which it's contained inside the brain, inside the heart as well. How far do you agree with this?
Well, actually, you know, I'm a brain surgeon. I have been operating on human brains my entire life, and we have never seen, no neurologist, no neurosurgeon in the world, a center which could explain the consciousness, because consciousness is being aware of the self-existence. It's something we cannot actually comprehend completely. It's beyond comprehension. But what matters is Allah created us, and Allah created this world at the level of perception. There is a matter outside, but we cannot in touch with the real existence of the matter. So we are only in direct contact with our perceptions. That is only what matters. And Allah controls everything. With the very good example, Allah gives us the evidence of this creation every day, actually. In our dreams, and everybody, if we fall asleep, we you know, have dreams. In our dreams, we see people, we see environments that we have never been seen before, houses. For example, we see the sun. We see we feel the temperature of the sun. We drive our car. We feel the wind in our dreams. Then we suddenly wake up, and we see there is no sun. The body we had in our dreams does not exist, and there is no car, nothing. But we know for sure we have seen this dream. So at the level of perception, it exists. It never disappears. In the infinite memory of Allah, it exists all the time. Levh-i mahfuz, inshallah. But what matters is these perceptions, these dreams, and our life is created by Allah. And Allah gives the information in the Quran, actually. For example, Allah gives the information, Allah is absolute, and Allah is everywhere. In our verse, Allah says, I seek refuge in Allah from a cursed Satan. Wherever you turn your face, Allah faces there. Allah says, in other words, Allah is closer to us than our carotid artery or jugular vein. So as you know, carotid artery or jugular vein is in our middle, you know, in our neck, which goes into the brain. But Allah says, Allah is closer than that. So there is, scientifically, at the level of Allah, there is no time, no space, no matter, inshallah. Allah is beyond everything. Allah created these at the level of perception. We have the perception of space. We have the perception of time. Time is scientifically relative. This is proven by Einstein, as you know, the relativity. It's relative. It's not there is no absolute time. What time is scientifically, we have our memories. For example, our childhood, we went to the high school, we have the memories of that also. And then we have the memory of coming into this room and you coming into the studio there. And then we have the memory of this, yes, speech. And then we, by making a comparison with now the information that we are getting every single moment with the past memory, then we get the perception of time is passing. But at the level of Allah, there is no time. For example, as you stated, some people stay in the coma for 10 years, sometimes some 15 years, and then wake up. And then they are not aware of the time they spend in the coma. Only if you tell them that you were in coma for 15 years, they say, okay, yeah, maybe. But they do not have the perception because they do not have the memory of these 15 years. There is nothing to compare with. And that eradicates the perception of the time completely. So time is a perception. Allah created...
Sorry.
Yeah.
So in reference to what you were saying, they have no... They have no memory. They can't compare this, you know, amount of time to anything they've experienced. So to them, is it just like a dream, or just like falling asleep and waking back up the next morning, not knowing that 10 or 15 years have gone past?
Yeah, let me give you this example. Actually, this is even more powerful evidence. For example, if somebody's memory is wiped out, so imagine that we cannot keep anything in our memories. So then the time, the perception of time disappears completely because there is nothing, no information. For example, let me do this. You hear this noise that I hit the wood. Okay, I hit it again. And then by making comparison between these two noises and comparing it with our past memories, we get the perception time is passing. So imagine we cannot keep anything in our memories. No childhood memories, no youth memories, no memories before coming into this show, and no memories that be our speech. So then the perception of time disappears completely because this person does not have anything in his memory to compare with. Means, of course, loses the perception of time. So time is definitely a perception. Allah is infinite, but we cannot perceive infinity. Allah is infinite. Allah existed since forever, and Allah will exist infinitely. And Allah created us, and Allah created our infinite life in the hereafter. For example, in the Quran, Allah gives examples of this. Allah gives the examples of the talks in the hereafter of people. And as you know, this is our future. We call it future because we did not we don't have these memories yet. So, but Allah tells us what's going to happen in the hereafter, sometimes in the future tense, sometimes in the past tense, sometimes in the present tense. So Allah shows us there is no time at the level of Allah, inshallah, at the presence of Allah. Allah created this for our soul at the level of perception. Since we do not have these memories, it's our future. Or it could be otherwise around. We would have these memories in our mind, inshallah. Then our past would be our future if we would not have the memories in our past. So scientifically, time is a perception.
That's a great example to use. I can't get any more clearer than that. I have a couple of more questions for you, if that's okay.
Yes, absolutely. Please, inshallah.
Through every debate in terms of the existence of God, when a Muslim argues against an atheist also says the same thing. Where is your evidence? If I was to question an atheist and say that, you know, God exists, they would say, where is your evidence? The evidence I would state to them is that my surroundings, the seas, the lands, are my evidence. And this obviously is in reference to the aesthetic argument, I'm sure you're aware. You know, that the beauty isn't just, you know, something which is of this world. It's something which is far more divine, and surely a God must have created this. But the counter-argument is that beauty is subjective.
Oh, the evidence as I gave you is very powerful. First of all, it is it's not complex, the existence of Allah and the religion. We are in a three-dimensional, colorful world. So we perceive that it's a technical fact. It's only electric signals in the brain, and the brain interprets this as a three-dimensional, colorful view, as music sound, as human sound, as the smell of rose, for example, or taste of a strawberry or banana. That means, of course, there is a creator of these perceptions, like in our dreams. There must be a creator. It's logical. It's scientific. It's now other way around, inshallah. And that proves us there is a creator. And also, I personally did not exist some time ago. So, and I started to exist. And that means, of course, I was created out of nothingness, inshallah. Since I could not have created myself, there is a creator. And that is Allah. And the creator must be infinite. Anything created cannot be the creator. The creator is Samad. Allah was not born. Allah does not give birth, inshallah. Samad. Allah is Samad. So Allah is infinite. We are the shadow beings. Allah created us. And the existence of the soul, which is also a scientific fact which follows, that destroys atheism or materialism or Darwinism. And also the scientific evidences which refute Darwinism that you can use against Darwinists. The impossibility of the emergence of the proteins by chance, and the 350 million fossils. There are no transitional forms that destroys Darwinism. And of course, there is no Darwinism, no atheism. Atheism is based, founded upon Darwinism. But Darwinism is wrong scientifically. So the existence of the soul, that we the world we are living in our brains, lentil size world, and also the scientific evidence which destroyed Darwinism, and the scientific evidence which destroyed materialism, the existence of the Big Bang, because Big Bang proves us with scientific evidences, Allah created matter, time, and space out of nothingness 15 billion years ago. This is what science tells us, and it is accepted by all the physicists all around the world because it has scientific evidences, which is cosmic background radiation, the expansion of the universe, and the hydrogen-helium ratio in the universe proves us that the matter, time, and space was created out of nothingness. This is very important. Created out of nothingness by Allah. And Allah gives the evidences also in the Quran. Allah says that Allah is expanding the universe. In Surah Zariyat, Allah says, we are steadily expanding the universe, Allah says. And also Allah says in the Quran, I seek refuge in Allah from a cursed Satan. Allah is the originator of the heavens and earth. And when He decides on something, He just says to it, be, and there it is. So Allah is the originator of the heavens and earth means Allah created heavens and earth, the universe, out of nothingness. And that destroys Darwinism. So scientific evidences from biology, genetics, microbiology, paleontology destroys Darwinism. And the existence of soul is beyond everything and destroys Darwinism, materialism, and atheism completely, inshallah.
Brother, my guest here, Rizwan, left you say something else.
Oh yeah, I just wanted to say that your point is very valid, and this is where the philosophical theory of ex nihilo fit comes to play, where nothingness can come from nothing. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, as you said, he's not constrained to shackles of mortality, time, and space, so he has the power to create everything, and nothingness can come from nothing.
Even the conception of nothingness, it is. For example, imagine there is nothingness, but then for this to perceive this nothingness, there must be a consciousness, and that is also an evidence for infinite existence of Allah, inshallah. Even that way, it cannot happen. So, the existence of Allah is logically and scientifically a fact. There is no other ways around. So, atheism is that, inshallah, and we will see this because we are living in the end times, at the time of the Mahdi. And Mahdiism is prevailing all around the world, alhamdulillah. And we know this from the hadith because our Prophet stated these, what's going to happen in the end times, all the signs and existence of the Mahdi and return of Isa alayhi salam, inshallah, based on the revelation of Allah. And we are seeing these are all happening. So inshallah, in 10 years, there will be no more Darwinism, materialism, and there will be Islamic morality prevailing the world. With Mahdi, we will see Mahdi alayhi salam, inshallah, we will see Isa alayhi salam, and Islam will prevail the world. This is destiny created by Allah. So it will happen, and it will definitely happen, inshallah. We will see that.
Inshallah. Brother, I wanted to ask you more about the brain.
Yes.
I'm sure you've seen films such as this, Limitless, etc., you know, all these fantasy films. But in reference to, you know, Islam, the prophets, peace be upon them, you know, they had a huge knowledge. They had knowledge that even we don't have, you know. They had such an intense memory. They had all this knowledge. They could use 100% of the brain. Is there a way that Islam can help, meditation can help to hack a brain?
Yes, of course. We pray to Allah, inshallah. The prophets, our prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and also the other prophets, they used their mind, inshallah, completely with their iman. It's very much closely correlated to our imans, inshallah. Iman brings wisdom, inshallah, in hikmah. That is very important. The wisdom is only possible with to be a sincere believer to Allah, with the fear of Allah and with the love of Allah. It is possible.
That's a good point. What about Islam? They stereotype Islam with terrorism, Osama bin Laden, you know, Saddam Hussein. They associate Islam with fundamentals.
All right. Islam is a religion of peace. Allah says in the Quran, I seek refuge in Allah from a cursed Satan. Allah says, O you who believe, enter absolutely into peace, Islam. Do not follow in the footsteps of Satan. He is an outright enemy to you. So Allah says, enter absolutely into peace, Islam. Islam derives from the word slim. Slim is peace. So Islam is a religion of peace. And according to Islam, killing innocent people is one of the greatest sins. In other words, chapter 5, verse number 32, Allah says, if someone kills another person, an innocent person, it is as if he had murdered all mankind. And if anyone gives life to another person, it is as if he had given life to all mankind. So killing one innocent person is like murdering all humanity, Allah says. So how could possibly a Muslim kill innocent people? Because terrorism in broadest sense, violence committed against non-military target, against entire civilians, against innocent people. For example, some people go and bomb a shopping mall, and they murder there the children, the women, the elderly people, and there are people, Muslims, Jews, or Christians, believers there in the shopping mall. So this is definitely haram. So somebody cannot be a Muslim and a terrorist at the same time. These terrorists having Muslim identities does not mean anything. The terror they can perpetrate cannot be labeled as Islamic terror. Or, for example, if they would have Christian names, does not mean that it's a Christian terror or Jewish terror if they have Jewish identities, Jewish IDs. So these people, the so-called Muslim terrorists, but there is no Muslim terrorist, of course. Somebody is Muslim or terrorist. These people have been through Darwinist education in the Western countries. So Darwinism is the source of terrorism, because the concepts of Darwinism, the first of all, it denies the existence of a creator, and it tells human beings that you owe your existence to chance. And then the concepts of Darwinism, struggle for survival, survival of the fittest, and the strong individuals crush the weak individuals to survive, and the conflict is the cause of the progress. These concepts inevitably leads to communism, to fascism, and communism inevitably leads to violence and the terror. So this is inevitable, because Darwin with these concepts, Darwin legitimized violence by claiming that humans are in essence animals struggling for survival. And if you take away Darwinism, of course, for example, I should say that the average people on the street may not know what Darwinism is. They may not know what natural selection means or mutation means, but they agree with a view whose philosophical basis rests on Darwinism. So if you take away Darwinism, no philosophy of conflict remains. Darwinism is an ethical understanding. So, but however, in Islam, there is compassion, there is mercy, love, tolerance, justice, and real democracy is in essence of Quran, because Allah says there is no compulsion in religion. That means there is complete freedom of worship and freedom of thought according to Islam. Of course, Allah says, Allah orders Muslims to enjoin the right and forbid the wrong. But there is complete freedom of thought. And Muslims cannot force other people to believe in anything. So that means, of course, Islam is a religion of peace, and there is no terrorism according to the Islam. No suicide. For example, in verse Allah says, do not kill yourselves. So suicide does not have any justification in no circumstances. It is haram, definitely haram. And Muslim who fears of Allah with all of his heart and sincere believer and loves Allah never attempts suicide. So it is haram. So killing innocent people, it is haram.
SubhanAllah, but as you said, I mean, Islam propagates peace and love and compassion. So why is it that terrorists use the false pretext of Islam to justify their actions? Why is it that they use a religion of peace to justify their actions? Why Islam out of all religions?
This is because of Darwinism and materialism controlled not only the Western world in the 20th century, but also the Islamic world also. For example, Darwinism entered the Ottoman Empire. Ottoman Empire collapsed. Darwinism and materialism controlled Palestine. It became socialist. It became Darwinist and materialist. Darwinism controlled at the time of Nasser, Egypt, Libya, Gaddafi regime, Saddam, Iraq regime. So Darwinism controlled Iraq, Syria, Jordan, Tunisia, Egypt, all these Muslim countries, and they moved away from religion. And then, of course, since Muslims got separated also, different sects, different groups, different jamaats, and this group doesn't go to the mosque of that group, and this group hates the other group, there is enmity and hatred between Muslims. And because of this, now we see that Muslims are being oppressed all around the world, in Iraq, in Afghanistan, in Palestine, in East Turkestan, in Somalia, Chechnya, all around the world. Muslims are being martyred, Muslim women are being raped, and Muslim children are being martyred because of separation. But Allah orders us in the Quran. Allah says, hold fast to the rope of Allah. I seek refuge in Allah from accursed Satan. Hold fast to the rope of Allah. The rope of Allah is Quran. Allah says, hold fast to the Quran and all together and do not separate. That's an order from Allah. Separation is haram. So the unity of Muslims, and this is an order from Allah. We have to unite. Otherwise, it is haram. Separation is fragmentation is haram. If we unite, the Islamic Union will solve all these problems. It will solve the problem of terrorism. It will solve the problem of radicalism. It will stop the wars and bloodshed all around the world. And it will bring wealth and happiness to the world of Islam, inshallah. And these days are very close by. So, again, Darwinism is the source of the radicalism, because the indications that what you indicate is actually radicalism. And radicalism has emerged among Muslims, Jews, and Christians because of Darwinism and materialism. Radicalism is not compatible with the Quran. Radicalism, the definition of that radicalism is to advocate sudden and fundamental changes based on uncompromising and hardline policies. But these harsh and angry speeches, behaviors, are incompatible with the Quran, because another example from the Quran, for example, Allah sends Moses a.s. to Pharaoh. Pharaoh of the time of Moses a.s. is a psychopath. He kills and do massacres, kills innocent people, as you know. But Allah says, Allah orders Moses a.s. When he goes to Moses to Pharaoh, Allah says, speak gently with him. So this is the style of a Muslim. This is from our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is from the Quran. Muslims have gentle behaviors. They behave other people, even the people of the book, Christians and Jews, with compassion, mercy, love, tolerance, and justice. Even the idolaters, Allah says in the Quran, the mushrikun, the idolaters, ask you for aman, for protection. Bring them to a place where they're going to be secure. So Muslim even protects the idolaters, the mushrikun, by even the risking their lives. They are under Muslims' protection. So Muslims never, never hurt people, into terrorism, kill innocent people. The war situation, according to Quran, is only for defensive purposes. And we can think about the time of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Our Prophet went into the war with the unbelievers, but only for defensive purposes, because they attacked our Prophet and the Sahabi and the companions and the Muslims of that time, and they endangered their life. So they defended themselves, of course, but Allah says, do not go beyond the limits. If you control the situation in a war, you stop there. You don't do massacres. In Hadith, our Prophet tells, do not destroy trees, do not destroy houses, and do not kill the elderly or children, inshallah. So bombing the cities, even in a war situation, is haram. A Muslim cannot use nuclear weapons. A Muslim cannot bomb the cities, because you kill innocent people by doing this, and it is haram. A war is only for defensive purposes, by army to army, by soldier to soldier. But if you control the situation, you just stop there. That's it.
I wanted to ask you, when you say Darwinism is the root cause of all these problems, would you say that the indoctrination that Darwinism is emitting on the innocent public and people who believe, creating this mental barrier which is sending this dominoes effect, making people go astray? Would you say it's the mental barrier that is put in place in people's mentalities, blocking of religion, being the root cause of all these problems in the world? What specifically is Darwinism causing, in your perspective?
Yes, of course, Darwinism is being taught in the schools all around the world. Darwinism is actually protected by the 95% of the states as a state ideology, not only in the Western countries, but also in the Islamic countries. It is being taught in Egypt. Egypt, for example, in Egypt, at the time of Hosni Mubarak, about 2 years ago, they did an evolution conference, Darwinism conference, in the Alexandria. And it is being taught in the schools of Tunisia, Jordan, even in Turkey, as a one-sided, like a scientific fact. It is being taught one-sided. But if you teach Darwinism to young brains in the schools, in UK, for example, imagine the UK, they teach Darwinism like a scientific fact. and they don't give the evidences of the creation, which refute Darwinism. They don't teach that in the schools. If you put in the subconscious mind of the young brains that you are an animal and you owe your existence to chance and there is no creator, and then you have to survive, you have to fight, and you have to crush the weak individuals, and the conflict is the cause of the progress. These are the concepts of Darwinism. And if you put these concepts into the subconscious mind of the people, this inevitably leads to violence and terror. For example, communism, which is a consequence of Darwinism, is founded upon Darwinist concepts. Karl Marx, the founder of communism, he said, this, for Charles Darwin's book, this is the basis in natural history for our view. Or another communist leader, Georgi Plekhanov, said, Marxism is Darwinism in its application to social science. So they used Darwinism as the foundation of Marxism. They said Darwinism is the dialectics of the nature, and communism is the dialectics of the societies, of the history. There is dialectical materialism, and that is based on Darwinism. And then Lenin, who put the Marx ideas into practice, was an open defender of terrorism and violence. And as you know, in the communist regimes throughout the world, more than 150 million people were killed. Mao of China, he said, Chinese socialism is founded upon Darwin and the theory of evolution, and during his time, 60 million people were killed in the communist China. So what I'm saying is, scientifically, these are concrete evidences. If you teach Darwinism, Darwinism inevitably leads into communism, and communism into the violence and the terror. You cannot escape. You cannot escape violence and terror if you teach Darwinism. That is the reason why all these things happened in the UK very recently. You know, they went into the shops, and there some people were killed, actually, as you know, in the UK. The reason is Darwinist education. But I'm not saying that Darwinism should not be taught in the schools. No, Darwinism should be taught in the schools. Mr. Adnan Oktar says, Darwinism should be taught in the schools. But also the scientific evidences which refute Darwinism, the impossibility of the emergence proteins by chance, and the fossil evidence, and also science leading to faith, also should be taught in the schools. Also, communism, fascism, Satanism should be taught in the schools, but also Islam should be taught in the schools, and Christianity and Judaism should also be taught in the schools. So Muslims or any person should have a broad knowledge of everything. Then they can decide what they believe. But if you teach the scientific evidences which refute Darwinism, nobody would believe in Darwinism. And there would be no violence and terror, because in Islam, somebody who has fear of Allah would never ever hurt people, would never ever kill innocent people. It is haram. Allah promises endless torment for people who kill innocent people in the hell. So anybody who has fear of Allah would never act with violence.
Brother, I just wanted to ask you, you state that a lot of the evils like communism, etc., derive from Darwinism itself. But could you not say that this is a misinterpretation of the actuality of Darwinism? And I mean, we know in history, for example, Hitler, he adapted Darwinism, but a different form of Darwinism known as social Darwinism, where he applied the survival. So could you not say that Darwinism has in fact been manipulated to fit the intentions of people like Karl Marx, etc.?
No, but actually, let me give you this evidence. I will give you some very concrete evidences now. I will start with fascism and Hitler. Hitler said, this is what Hitler said, take away Nordic Germans and nothing remain but the dance of apes. So he got these ideas from Charles Darwin, because Charles Darwin was a racist himself. This is what Charles Darwin said in his book, The Descent of Man. I'm going to read the quote from Charles Darwin. He said, at some future period, not very distant as measured by centuries, the civilized races of man, according to Charles Darwin, the civilized races are white European men. He said, the civilized races of man will almost certainly exterminate and replace the savage races throughout the world. At the same time, Charles Darwin goes on, at the same time, the anthropomorphous apes will no doubt be exterminated. The break between man and his nearest allies will then be wider, for it will intervene between man in a more civilized state, as we may hope, even then the Caucasian and some ape as a low as baboon, instead of as now between the Negro or Australian and the gorilla. So what he says over here is, there are higher animals, more evolved animals, white European man. And he says all other races, which are close to monkeys, such as, for example, Indians, Pakistanis, Turks, Aborigines, Australians, Orientals, according to Charles Darwin, are lower races close to monkeys. And he said, white European men, more evolved animals, will exterminate the lower animals which are close to monkeys. And these ideas were taken by Adolf Hitler and applied as struggle between races into fascism. And he used Darwinism as the so-called scientific justification for the fascism and Nazism. In his book, as you know, he has a book. The title of the book is, Hitler's book is Mein Kampf. Mein Kampf means my fight, my struggle. And he got this struggle concept from Darwinism. If you read the book of Hitler, it is a psychotic book. But if you read it, you come across many times the same concepts of Darwinism, such as natural selection, selected mating, and struggle between races. So he inspired from Darwinism and applied into this Darwinist ideas of Charles Darwin's racism into fascism and Nazi ideology. And as you know, 85 million people were killed in his time. Now, what about communism? Communism, it's not I say what communism is founded upon Darwinism. This is what Karl Marx and Engels says. Communism is founded upon Charles Darwin. This is what Marx said. I'm reading a quote from Karl Marx. In a letter he wrote to Engels, he said, this is the book. He talks about Charles Darwin's book, Origin of Species. Karl Marx says that. This is the book which contains the basis in natural history for our view. So he says, Darwinism is foundation for our view, for communism. In another letter, Karl Marx says, Darwin's book is very important and serves me as a basis in natural science for the class struggle in history. So he got the ideas, struggle between classes, from Charles Darwin, from Darwinism, because Karl Marx claimed Darwinism is the dialectics of the nature, and communism is dialectical materialism, and there is a conflict between thesis, antithesis, and synthesis, and this is the cause of the progress. And he used also Darwinism as the so-called scientific justification for communism. I'm going to read another quote, an explanation from Georgi Plekhanov. Georgi Plekhanov is one of the pioneers of the communism. He said, Marxism is Darwinism in its application to social sciences, you see? He says, Marxism is Darwinism applied to societies, into social sciences. So, we understand scientifically, there are many other evidences I can give you, but since we don't have any time. But the problem with this is, Darwinism leads to communism, but communism into violence and terror. This is what Vladimir Lenin. Lenin is the one who put Marx's ideas into practice. This is what Lenin said. The phenomenon in which we are interested is armed struggle, Lenin says. Armed struggle pursues two different aims, which must be strictly distinguished. In the first place, this struggle aims at assassinating individuals, chiefs, and subordinates in the army and police. He says, we have to kill the soldiers, we have to kill the cops. And he goes on, in the second place, it aims at the confiscation of monetary funds, both from the government and from private persons. And as you know, with the bloody Bolshevik revolution, millions of people were killed in the communist Russia. At Stalin's time, 20 million people were killed. Mao's regime in communist China, who said Chinese socialism is founded upon Darwin and theory of evolution, 60 million people were killed. And in the communist regimes throughout the world, 150 million people were killed. So this is not a misinterpretation. These pervert ideologies of the 20th century, communism, fascism, anarchism, terrorism, racism, are all founded upon Darwinism. As you know, according to the Quran, racism is haram. Allah says in one verse, I seek refuge in Allah from a cursed Satan. Allah says, I created you from a man and a woman. And I made you into tribes and nations just to know each other, Allah says. The superiority of the superiority is, Allah says, according to taqwa. Taqwa means sincerity. So there is no racial superiority. Allah says, I created you in different races or nations and tribes just to know each other, for just a cultural color. That's it. Racism is haram.
Brother, I wanted to ask you, we are currently running short on time, but I must say this is one of the best interviews I have ever had. Honestly, the kind of facts you are giving, I have heard, you know, I haven't heard such concrete facts from anyone else. You know, this is such a... I wish I could have interviews like this on a more regular basis.
Inshallah, anytime. I learned, mashallah, Mr. Adnan Oktar has been instrumental. And I learned him, I learned from Quran and the Hadith, and I from Mr. Adnan Oktar, alhamdulillah. If our Muslim brothers and sisters go to the website, www.harunyahya.com, www.harunyahya.com, they can download any of his books free of charge, and the documentaries, and please read these, inshallah. They are very, very good books. 300 books he has translated to more than 75 languages. And inshallah, spread the truth of Islam all around the people around them, inshallah, to the atheists, to the Darwinists, all of them, inshallah.
Brother, I would like to ask you one final question. This is obviously in reference to the Darwinist society we currently live in. How would you say religion has a place within, you know, within current society? How does religion have a place in, you know, current society? Although, obviously, it's filled with all these Darwinists, these ignorant individuals, you know. How do you say Islam, Christianity, Judaism has a place in contemporary society?
Inshallah. Yeah, now I will give you the evidences from our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Our Prophet said 1400 years ago, inshallah, by the revelation of Allah, people will start to accumulate around Mahdi starting Hijrah 1400, which is 1980. And our Prophet also gave the signs, which is occupation of the Afghanistan that happened in 1980. Iran-Iraq war that started in 1980. The occupation of the Iraq, another sign that also being fulfilled. And the sun and moon eclipses in the month of Ramadan, our Prophet said, for two following years, and that happened in 1981 and 1982. A bloody attack to the Kaaba, our Prophet said, is the sign of the emergence of Mahdi, and this happened the first day of the Hijrah 1400, 21st of November in 1979. And also the Hali Comet, Lunin Comet was stated in the Hadiths, which passed in 2009. And also occupation of the Azerbaijan, open denial of Allah, and irreligious philosophies pervading the world are described by our Prophet as the signs of the end times and emergence of Mahdi. So we understand, inshallah, we live in the end times, because in eight more hadiths related by Imam Suyuti, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the life of this world is 7,000 years. Our Prophet also said, 5,600 years are over. That means 1,400 years are left. Since we are living between 1,400 and 1,500, we must see Islam to prevail the world. We must see Mehdi al-Islam and Isa al-Islam, inshallah. This is the only time left. And these are the hadiths from Kutub-i Sitta, inshallah. And also, these are accepted by Imam Hanafi, Maliki, Shafi, and Imam Hanafi, Maliki, Shafi, and Hanbali, inshallah. So, all by all the Ahl-i Sunnah scholars, inshallah. And we have the signs. So, these hadiths are being fulfilled, means these hadiths are happened, and we are living in the end times, and Mahdi must be alive. That is the reason why Darwinism and materialism is going down in the entire world, inshallah. And there is a progress in the Islam all around the world. We see many scientists, many atheists. For example, Anthony Flew is from United Kingdom. He is the most famous atheist of the 20th century. You know what happened in 2004? He admitted that, although he was a Darwinist and an atheist for his entire life, he admitted that evolution cannot explain anything, and Allah must have created everything. And he apologized from the atheist that he caused to be atheist. Francis Collins was an atheist, the president of the Human Genome Project. He is converted to be a believer. Many atheists are converting today, inshallah. Why? Because Mahdism is everywhere, inshallah. Mahdi is alive, and Isa alayhisselam must have returned. Our Prophet also describes Mahdi alayhisselam's features, physical features, that he has black hair, black beard, kefsej on the sides, chin on the sides, and majzum at the bottom. And also, he has broad, white brow, curved eyebrows, Ainul Hadra, green eyes, and a single skull in between the eyebrows, and a mole, light-colored mole on his cheek, and bright teeth, broad shoulders, broad belly, broad thighs, and medium stature, and a descendant of our Prophet. He will be a Sayyid, inshallah, a descendant of our Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In hadith says, he will be children of my daughter Fatima, our Prophet says in the hadith, inshallah. And he will start his actions, inshallah, he says, in 1400. And he indicates he will arise between the Turks and from Istanbul, because in one hadith our Prophet says, Mehdi alayhi salam will conquer Medina. And the companions, the Sahabi, ask him, which Medina, Ya Rasulullah, because Medina means city. And our Prophet says, Constantinople. Constantinople is the old name of Istanbul, inshallah. So there are at least 10 more hadiths indicating that Mehdi alayhi salam will be active, do his actions in the Istanbul, inshallah. So we are living these days, and there will be a golden age, our Prophet describes in the hadiths. There will be progress in science, technology, and arts like it has never been seen before. There will be wealth all over the world, justice, no poor people, no starving people, no wars, no bloodshed, because in the hadith our Prophet says, Mehdi alayhi salam will not even shed a single drop of blood. He will not even cause a single nosebleed, and he will not awaken the sleeping person. So there will be complete peace, security, justice, all around the world, inshallah. And these days are close by. As glad tidings, inshallah.
Brother, unfortunately we're running short of time, and this is pretty much the end of the show. I thank you so much for your contributions on this show. Next year, this is actually my last show as well. So it's gone off with a boom.
Mashallah, mashallah. Jazakallah, hi, brother.
I must say, this is easily the best interview radio show I have had. It's been a great learning curve for me and my good friend Rizwan over here. Is there any special messages you would like to give to the audience, to the listeners, in reference to this presentation, as well as it's the end of Ramadan? Is there any special messages or any anything which you'll like to tell us before we end this month of Ramadan?
Yes, inshallah. These are the glad tidings, inshallah. Our Prophet says, give the glad tidings of Mehdi alayhi salam. Inshallah, in 10 years, we will see Islamic Union, Turkish Islamic Union, inshallah. We will see Mehdi alayhi salam, and we will see Isa alayhi salam, inshallah. Allah says, hold fast to the rope of Allah and do not separate. So we have to hold fast to Quran, and we should unite, inshallah, all the Muslims, all the sects, all the groups, inshallah, we must unite. And this will bring solution to all the problems all around the world, inshallah. And this is a time where there will be no more Darwinism and materialism, no wars, no bloodshed, no communism, no fascism, no anarchism, no terrorism, no racism, inshallah. There will be peace, security, justice, and love and happiness in the entire world, starting a golden age, inshallah. Since we are in 1432 Hijrah, this is another 70 years left, inshallah, because our Prophet says, the life of my community will not exceed much 1,500 Hijrah. So we have another 70 years left to see Islamic dominion in the world, inshallah. Mehdi alayhi salam and Isa alayhi salam will pray together according to the hadiths, inshallah. And Isa alayhi salam will push Mehdi alayhi salam from his back and will make him imam of the world, inshallah, the spiritual leader of the world. And inshallah, we will see that. And this is the golden age, and these are the glad tidings, and it is most importantly, promise of Allah from the Quran. Because in Quran, Allah promises that Allah will prevail Islam in the world, inshallah. And for example, in Surah An-Nur 55, in many other verses, Allah promises that Allah will prevail Islam, inshallah.
Brother, I'll have to wrap up the show. I'll have to wrap up the show. Unfortunately, we have another show coming. You know, have the sisters coming as well for their show as well. But I must say, it's been an honor talking to you. I have learned so much as a presenter as well. Inshallah, hopefully one day when I do this again, I can have another conversation with you.
Inshallah, brother, it was a pleasure and honor for me. And I also send the salam of Mr. Adnan Oktar, Brother Harun Yahya, to all the Muslim brothers and sisters there, inshallah.
Inshallah, and thank you very much for your time. We know you're quite a busy individual, so we thank you for all the knowledge you have given us and the time which you have given us as well. Thank you very much, Hassan.
Jazakallah khair. Selamun aleyküm.